Well, good morning. Hope you've enjoyed the weekend so far. It's been beautiful. If you were around last week, you heard me kind of launch out a little bit about how the kingdom of God grows exponentially. And that's a little different from the way we've kind of done things in the American church for quite a while. But it is very biblical. And it is whenever certain things line up, not only in individual lives, but when those things begin to line up in the network of lives that God gives us to share life with. So what I want you to hear me saying today is not that this is always just about me or you individually, because it's easy to become locked into the belief that all I'm talking about is you as an island. And I am not talking about me as an island or you as an island. It is all about how God orchestrates and connects all of these things that I'm talking about to cause His kingdom to expand. Every passage you see in the New Testament, when Paul talks about the body of Christ as a body with all the body parts, we talk about those passages many times in the context of spiritual gifts. And it is certainly that context in which it was delivered. But the reality of what he's saying doesn't just apply to simply spiritual gifts. It applies to the fact that this is what God has made His church to be like. And then he talks about how spiritual gifts, for example, give us each certain abilities, certain capacities that we do not have in and of ourselves. They are Spirit, Holy Spirit, given and distributed. And the reality is, way too many times in the church in America, we have talked about how those things apply to an individual life. And we forget that God gifts those gifts through individuals to His church for His kingdom to expand. We keep thinking that it's always about multiplying, when truthfully it's more about exponential growth. Multiplying, I think of two times three is six. Well, whenever we talk about the kind of growth that God gives, you can't get two times three equals six out of the Holy Spirit coming, Peter preaching, and 5,000 people come. That is exponential expansion of the kingdom. That's what happens when all the things that we're talking about last week, this week, in the future, a couple of weeks, when those things are in line and connected to one another. Now, last week, I talked about how your interests and your passions are an essential part of how God has wired you, and how that, when connected to some other things, is what causes the individual and then the network of those lives to exponentially grow the kingdom. Instead of saying, we need a XYZ teacher and we need to find a warm breathing body to fit in the XYZ slot. That is not the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of somebody, but it's not the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of somebody who created an organization and then finds people to serve the organization. That is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God empowering, infusing, connecting, and then allowing things to go. Okay, so we started with talking about the interests and the passions that God put into us. That's where we began. And I mentioned that when that was hitched to purpose, God's purpose for us, then good things begin to happen. We find in baseball the term is the sweet spot. Okay, that's the place on the bat. When you hit that place on the bat, the ball's going to go farther, harder, faster than it does anywhere else on the bat. It's where everything works perfectly. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about how God wants to use us to expand His kingdom. He wants us to be functioning on, another analogy, all cylinders. Okay? And many times, we're kind of going through sort of with two cylinders in a four-cylinder engine. Okay. So what I want to talk about for just a few minutes is to kind of backtrack. I want to backtrack from talking about passions and interests, and I'm going to talk about that purpose for just a minute or two. And then I'm going to move on, and I'm going to talk about our personal style. Okay? Because that's another factor. And again, it's not just individual. We're talking about how, yes, in each of us, but then that's all of us connected too. We can't forget that. All right, so let's talk about purpose. John, take me to the next slide, I believe. Here we go. There's a couple of passages that I want to look at that are very prominent in helping us define our purpose. Very simply, Jesus defined our purpose for us. I mentioned it last week, but I want to revisit again. Here's the verse that we all know. It's the Great Commission. So it's, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So, we talked about the dominating verb in all of that. It was what? No. I love you, but no. No, that's a preposition. Make what? Making disciples is the dominant verb in this. Okay? It is not going. It is making disciples. That's why in English we have what we call, forgive me, my English teacher, part of me is coming out. But in English we have what we call a subordinate clause. The subordinate clause is what bows down to the one that's in charge. The in charge clause is make disciples. The subordinate clause that bows down to it is go. So what we can interpret that go as is as you go or while you go, the thing you are to do is make disciples. Make disciples while you're out there, folks. That's what he's saying. When you go, you make disciples. That's what you do, no matter what you do. No matter where you go, you make disciples. So if that was the purpose that Jesus gave those who were with him whenever he decided it was time for him to ascend, we need to pay attention to that. How many of us have not memorized or quoted that and said, this is what we are supposed to be about? It is, after all, what we call the Great Commission. We believe that applies to all believers, right? Isn't that what we've been taught? Okay. Now there's another passage that sort of fills this out. And the reason it fills this out is because it is what Jesus said he was here for. And we know that Jesus said that we were supposed to be like him, right? He went to the Father, and what did he send? The Spirit. His Spirit brings the very life that he has for us in to live within us. So it's his life we're supposed to be living in that transaction. So let's look at this other passage. You'll notice that it's the passage that basically was Jesus' statement of who he was and why he was here whenever he first went into the synagogue and established what was going to happen from here on, folks. This is what he said. He stood up to read. It's what they did in the synagogue. Somebody would spread out the scroll and they would stand up and they would read it and then they would teach from it. So basically Jesus was following that pattern. He was kind of like noticed as a teacher even though he hadn't been educated. And they asked him to do that. He took the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. It was handed to him. This is what happened. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. So if it's Jesus's, that's his purpose, and I've got his Spirit and I've got his life, what's my purpose? He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. If it's his, It's ours. We are the body of Christ. Paul says in other places, we have the mind of Christ, which means he must be rattling around inside our bones. Now, of course, not literally, but you get the idea. He's in here. And if he's in us and amongst us, we have the same purpose. Now, we can have a lot of different thoughts for what we think we're supposed to be here for. Some people think they're here to make money. Some people think they're here to move up a corporate ladder and have influence and whatever. Some people think they're supposed to win Super Bowls, and some people, think they're supposed to make donuts. I don't know. But whatever we think that purpose is, this is the purpose that we're supposed to be living. As we go make donuts, as we work in the water park, as we work on a car, as we do whatever we do. This is the purpose. So it's got to be hitched. Our passion, our interests have to be hitched to this purpose for the kingdom to expand exponentially. So far, are you with me? All right. Now, there's another thing that's got to be hitched to the train, another car. And that is something that God has given to us and developed in us through the course of our lives. And it's just as important as our passions and interests. But it's something that we don't think of quite as often as being something we can do anything about. But we can. It is our personal style. Personal style. I'm talking about personality. You know that. Okay? But I'm not going to take a real Greek approach to this. So, John, you can pop up that first little line there. Something that we've talked about already. Passion hitched to purpose, hitched to personal style, is creative in fulfilling ministry. You'll notice that last week, whenever we hitched passion to purpose, we talked about it being fulfilling. We're in the sweet spot on all cylinders. Things work. Fruit comes. But when we add this idea of personal style, it adds an element of creativity to it. Because God has wired us and then given us experiences that are unique and different, so that the personalities that have developed in each one of our lives, when we see a passion and an interest and then God's purpose, and those things are all hitched up together, we begin to see things happen in a way that's unique to each of us, which is why we're all so important to this endeavor of the kingdom that God's called us to be a part of together. Does that make sense? Okay, next point. First of all, your personal style is your personality at work. It's not just this esoteric academic thought. You know, sometimes, and we've been guilty of this. We'll give you a personality inventory, just like we'll give you a spiritual gifts inventory. You'll find out, oh, I'm a D, or I'm a C, or I'm an S, or I'm an I. We go, oh, how interesting. And then what we use that for when we find out what general personality style we have, if there are 4 or 6 or 10 that are a part of that inventory, then every time we have a conversation, we go, oh, I'm just a, or we'll say, oh, no, you're acting just like this. You're a D. But what we're not doing is we're not hitching it to our passion nor our purpose. Instead, we're using it to explain or analyze other people, sometimes for no purpose at all. What I believe God wants us to do with this is hitch it to our passion and our purpose so that we understand how God has developed us, which brings me to the next point, that personal style can change, but it's not usually one of those changes where you just kind of wake up the next morning and your personality's different. You know, through the way that God has wired you, and through all the experiences that you've had, you're not going to just be able to controvert and change those overnight. Now, God can, but I don't even, you know, even if you look at the example of the Apostle Paul, he was different once he met Jesus. Boom, he was changed, right? But he still had his personality. even though he was changed. Personality, I believe, can change. It can grow. We can become different if we need to be. But it's not one of those things that changes quickly. Next point. So your personal style is formed by the interaction of who God made you to be born from, plus all those environmental factors that you have lived through, good and bad. Everybody doesn't have the same family experience. Sometimes God can take the most gosh awful pit of hell family life and then can do what we talk about in Romans 8. He can make all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Because some of us did not live through the perfect childhood. Mom and dad were married 5 times. Okay? I didn't have a perfect childhood. Maybe you didn't either. But the reality is, no matter what our childhood or what our experience was, God can then use it, redeem us, redeem even those things that were meant to destroy us, to glorify him, and for the kingdom to expand exponentially. So that's a part of our personality. The reason why I'm a C, the reason why Regina says I have a brain defect and I play on words, you know, if you hang around me long enough, you know, I'll come up with some silly, stupid play on words. I just do that. I got it from my dad. So it's part of my personality. Okay? It's over time. All right. So far, you understand all this? You got it? Yes, Terry.
Can I give an example?
Yes. Give us an example.
Lexi's passion is photography. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing equals making photography calendars to raise money for orphan care. That's just something she's doing today.
Yeah.
And I think that's her sweet spot.
Yep.
It seemed like
yep. Yes, that would be a good example. Y'all hear that? Lexi's love for photography, okay? Her social networking through like Facebook, and then there was a particular cause. She hitched it to a cause, okay? And then, boom, we have her functioning in her sweet spot. What God meant, exactly, very creative, okay? So functioning out of what God has made her to be. Now we'll get to gifts in a couple of weeks because that's very important too, okay? In fact, that's usually where we start. But we didn't start there for a reason. Okay, all this making sense, and you're putting all this away, and it's back there. Okay, I want to talk for just a minute about some rationales for this as we look at these things, and then I'll make a statement, and then I'm going to let you do a little exploration on your own. Here's a passage from Ephesians. We do have some biblical foundations. And this is very broad. I understand. It doesn't say, your personality is given to you by God. Okay. I understand, it's not that kind of passage, okay? But I think if we look at what it says, we can understand that's true, okay? So in Ephesians 1, 11 and 12, it says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according, here's the words, according to the plan of him who works out everything. Are you part of everything? And who you are and who you are born to, the fact that you were born in the United States, the fact that you speak English, the fact that you are, you know, you live in Savannah right now, all that is part of his plan. It's being worked out in conformity with the purpose of his will, even in subset, your personality. In order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Okay? You see the foundation? So to understand that as part of being in conformity with purpose of the will, that everything about us is something that God can use. Let's see. Does anybody remember or maybe has memorized at some point Jeremiah 29:11? Does anybody go, oh, I know what that is? Yes, Bethany. Absolutely. Okay. Here it is. Okay. I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's God's purpose and desire for us. And don't you think that who He's made you to be, your personality, is a part of that? All right. Second verse, John. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Here Paul says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed. Boy, I wish God could say that about me, huh? Always obeyed. Not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Even that, huh? When nobody's looking. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act according to His good purpose. We have a partnership with God in this. This is good news, okay? Because even though who we are and our personalities have been shaped by our experiences, good or bad, and our genetics, we have nothing we can do about it. Those two things coming together, the reality is our personalities can change because God is at work in us. But we have to cooperate. We have to desire to want to change. So if there's something about our personality that God brings to our awareness and shows, Rick, you need to change that. Then I have to say, okay, then I have to believe, God, that you want me to change that part of my personality. And I have to believe that you're going to let me do that. You're going to help me do that. And that I can. Now, let me give you the worst case of all scenarios, or one of the worst cases of all scenarios. Coming into contact with believers who say, I'm going to say, here's the patch. I'm wearing the patch on my shoulder. The patch is, I just speak my mind. Well, you know what? God doesn't just bless you if you just go stomping in all the time, emotionally or whatever. You are responsible, and I am responsible for sharing what God puts on my heart at the right time, in the right place, in the right way. And if I think that just because it came across my mind, that means that I have a right to dump it or throw it, that's wrong. That is not true. So, in the context here, if I know that that's something that I struggle with in my personality, that I have a tendency to want to opinionate, and I want to then move from opinionation to judgment, then I need to be aware of that, and I have to say, God, you've shown me this is a part of my personality that is not pleasing to you, and I need you to help me come up with a strategy to change my habits or my patterns so that I do please you and I don't hurt other people, and that what you show me, if you're showing it to me, can be shared in a way that it would be constructive and loving and encouraging instead of it coming across as being judgmental and non-productive. That make sense? Personalities sometimes have to change in order for us to see the sweet spot in our lives. Because believe me, you'll hit a foul ball if you're doing that kind of stuff. The ball just glances right off the bat because you're not hitting the sweet spot. So we have to cooperate. We have to work out that salvation with fear and trembling. We have to cooperate with God for those changes to happen in our lives. He's at work in us. He's given us all the tools, but we've got to cooperate. We can't sit by and act like this is all God's stuff. And if God doesn't do it, then I don't know how to do it. If I start talking like that, I'm talking like a 12 or a 13-year-old. because I hear it from 12 and 13 year olds that I live with, that I love. And I have to convince them, you can change. You can ask God to help you, and He will, but you have to cooperate. Okay, I think I've hammered that well enough. Let's move to the last thing. And that is identifying your personal style. I am not going to give you very short, and there are no letters involved. You'll see that in a second. So I'm going to ask you to look at your personality based on two polar lines. Okay? One is how you are organized, and the other is how you're energized. It's a little different. In other words, some things bring you energy and some things drain you. Now here is the, Regina will tell you that she just doesn't understand this. Some of y'all will laugh, okay? There are times where filling out forms energized me. Forms. There have been times where if you tell me it's time to do taxes, I got excited. And I enjoyed doing those tax forms. Now, not recently, but see how things. But the idea is sometimes certain things get us excited or motivate us or energize us. Now for Dusty, just to be in a room with 10 people he doesn't know, that just energizes Dusty. Whereas being in a room with 10 people I don't know will drain me a little bit more than it would Dusty. He could be there for hours. Whereas me, I'm going to be tired in about 20 minutes. We're energized by different things. So that's one of the poles. So the way we're organized and the way we're energized. We're going to look at how those intersect and it'll tell us a little bit about ourselves. Now again, the reason why I'm giving this to you is for you to see how it hitches up with passion and purpose. It's about how these things work together for you, for God to help you be in your sweet spot, so you are then at a place where you can participate in the kingdom expanding exponentially. It is not all about you just knowing and then using it either as an excuse or as a way to analyze or judge other people. Does that make sense? Because I think a lot of times we use that, just like we use spiritual gifts, as an excuse. I don't have the spiritual gift of. And so whenever there's a need, we just say, well, I don't have that gift. Well, guess what? If you prayed, maybe God would give you that gift, because if the church needs it, maybe that's exactly what God wants to do in your life. Now, maybe it's not you. Maybe it's somebody else. But are you willing for your life to be altered so that God can say, no. You are the guy. You are the gal. You're the one right now for this time. I'm giving you this gift for this purpose right now. Okay? All right. Are you ready? If you don't have a pen, here's my handy dandy pen container. Pass them back, please. And here you go. I'm telling you, this is the shortest personality inventory I have ever seen. And I love it because it's not based on letters. Other than E and O. That's pretty good. I think that's enough. You got force. I got you. Oh. Give that one to Bethany, please. Uh-oh. Right now. I'm getting close. I may have to run a couple. Let me run four. Be right back. 1, 2, 3, 4. Take a few minutes, work on this, and then I'm going to have you do something with it. Now, I'll tell you why you're doing this. A lot of times when people have you do a personality inventory, Their main objective is for you to understand how that personality style interacts with other personality styles. Now, that is a valid reason for understanding personality styles. And I think it is at work as we talk about how God calls us people together in the kingdom community that God puts you in. You need to understand that, to understand how everybody works. There's no doubt about that. But for the discussion that we're talking about today, you need to be thinking your personality style hitched with your passion and His purpose. I want you to try to think how those things are at work in you, or could be, or should be at work in you. And then you can take the step of how does that fit in with the personalities and the passions of other people. Okay? So here's what I want you to do. When you have finished your inventory, I want you to try to hitch some of these things together. I want you to hitch things that are your interests or things that you are passionate about. I want you to consider the purpose that we've talked about. I want you to then hitch your personality style to that in some way. And I want you to think, what are some creative ways, like Terry shared about Lexi earlier? In fact, she took her interest in photography, her connection, her social interaction through electronic means in this case, and then how she hitched it to a cause. She put three things together. I want you to put some things together. I want you to see some things that God is, maybe you haven't even thought about before, but maybe all it is an affirmation of what God has already been showing you. But things that God is at work in you right now, preparing you to do to expand the kingdom. And you may not even realize that that's what He's been doing. So try to put some of those things together. And I don't just want you to write it down. You can make a couple of notes. I want you to talk. Okay? Now, you're going to say, share with somebody in a group of two or three, hey, this is what I'm seeing. This is a passion. This is kind of my personality. This is the purpose. And here's some ways that I can say, yes, God's done this in my life and He's affirmed that. Or it may be, I've never thought about that before. And somebody else may have a thought for you. Hey, while you're saying that, this is what I thought. That's how all of this begins to fit into the larger context of the people of God and the expansion of the kingdom, is when we begin to share these things and God begins to affirm them and then begins to give us ways to put those things into action. Because that's the key with all this. Just knowing it up here won't do us any good, or God any good. Here's what you do. Based on the numbers that were on the other side, okay? Excuse me. Okay, based on your numbers that you got, the E and the O, okay? You look over here. Here's the E, and then down here is high E, low E. The problem with talking about personalities is that we try to think about them in two definitive of terms. And the reality is, yes, we have to somehow describe them, but at the same time acknowledge that we are very multifaceted. The reality is, some of you are energized by things that are different from the things that I'm energized by. We simply need to know that so that we can see how it all fits together. Because there are certain things you never would want to put a person who is task-oriented, who really doesn't have a lot of people skills, but yet loves Jesus and say, I want you to teach 300 people today. Because that person who's task-oriented, they may love getting ready, but you talk about putting them in front of somebody, that is not where their personality is. And you're setting them up. It better be a God-given challenge, because if it's not, you're setting them up for something they're not ready to do. Does that make sense? And then somebody who is people unstructured, don't ask them to prepare an event, because you are asking for a fiasco. That's not their personality. They'll sit there, they will have a great time with whoever they're planning with. But in the end, there's no plan. But they had a great time not getting there. That's just the way that's the way that it is, you know. God has a sense of humor. He puts us all together in such unique ways, okay? Now, Regina's not extreme people unstructured, but she is in the people unstructured quadrant. And I'm in the task structured quadrant. Now, that may not be exactly the way it is with you and your friends or your spouse, but that is the way that we are. You know, and this came into being, you know, long before we ever expected. And God showed us this was the way we were. And whenever I would try to teach a Sunday school lesson in the old days, okay? One of the things that if you're a task-structured person that you get so bent out of shape about is, I didn't get through the lesson. They didn't get what I wanted them to get. Regina would just have a great time. We just kind of plodded around in the stuff that we were going to talk about. We didn't have a direction, but we all had fun. We all knew each other better when we got through. Or, you know, whatever. You know, and it's not, that may have been God's purpose for that event. But me, I'm thinking, I got to get through the content. Somewhere in the middle of all that, God is at work, okay, in both of us. And it took me, you know, she and I rubbing the iron versus iron thing, to where I realized sometimes I don't have to get through the content. I'm a lot more forgiving with myself that way now. And there's times where now she says, you know, maybe they did need to get a point, you know, in what we were doing. It's just the way we are. All right. Has this helped you any at all? Because it's just part of the process. It's part of the train, okay? We're creating a train. Of course, the purpose is pulling the train. Our passions and interests, our personal style, and then we need to talk about a couple other things in the next couple of weeks. One of those things that we need to talk about is going to be spiritual gifts, but we probably also need to talk about one or two other factors too, things like talents and abilities, you know, that are also a part of this train. But just how all these things fit, how God uses all this to create vehicles for the kingdom of God to go places that we never thought they would go. It would go because we are in our sweet spot. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just want to hear from you. We love you, and we just tell you that you can do with us whatever you want to do. Lord, we pray that we'll be useful. We'll be Onesimus, like the name of the guy in the Bible, Lord. We'll be useful to you, that we'll be able to be people not only that are your hands and your feet, but that are your hands and your feet in such a way that the kingdom grows. Change our thinking about who we are. Change our thinking about who you've called us to be together, so that we will be fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen.